with the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone, and you know we must be getting close to the draft because we have Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net here with us in studio on the Journey to Draft podcast presented by AAA. I'm Chris McPherson alongside Fran Duffy. And
the rock star.
And at the end of the table, we have Bo Wolf.
Hello.
And yes, true rock star indeed. Thanks for getting dressed up for the occasion.
Ode to Tommy Lawler, who's a huge Zeppelin fan. Yes, he is. Also for Bo Wolf, who actually said nothing when he picked me up about the sweatshirt.
That's not true.
I was surprised by that.
I thought you were going to be wearing the Journey sweatshirt.
There you go. Or the thermal.
What is it? give it to us. Give us a line.
Does anybody remember laughter?
Nice. Very nice.
Good.
No, nobody does.
There you go.
So we're just 9 days away from the start of the 2015 NFL draft. And just to plug what our programming is going to be a week from Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., the Eagles Draft Central preview show. And then a week from Thursday, it all begins 7:30 p.m. Dave Spadaro and the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, will host the first round coverage. I will be in Chicago. Bo will be holding it down here at the NovaCare Complex. Fran will be working behind the scenes. Tony, what is this time period like for you now with this less than 2 weeks before the draft?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, you know, I'm down here in Philadelphia today. People seem to want a piece of me, per se.
We all do.
Traveling. Yeah, you go. traveling it to different facilities. It'll be on TV, a lot of radio interviews. And what I like to do is, you know, I finish up some of the small school guys, some of the late risers, and then I'll go back and I'll watch some of the guys who maybe I don't have as highly rated as other people. We talked about Breshad Perriman, a few other
off
guys.
Off camera before a show.
Right, guys like that who I say, I go back and I'll watch the film. See if maybe if I'm missing something on my first instinct, maybe I should got to polish up on something, or you know, say no, I was right the first time around. I'm going to keep him as a second round pick as opposed to a mid first round choice.
Let's start with it. Let's have the Breshad Perriman conversation. What don't you see?
I see a great athlete, but I don't see a natural fluid receiver. I see a guy who can physically beat down people. He's got the 40 speed, which he has to translate onto the field. But I see someone who struggles making the reception in contorted positions, lets a lot of passes slip through his hands. Just a guy who's not there yet. And I don't think, you know, the makeup of this draft is it kind of falls off after the 15th or 20th pick. But I don't see a guy that I would normally consider a first-round pick. He's a guy who I think could be a very good player 2 or 3 years down the road, but he's got some downside risk because of the fact that there's going to be some bumps in the road for him.
I think Perriman's intriguing just because of the physical tools, and and we saw that at his pro day, obviously with the 4.2 range, running that 40. But you saw that on tape too, the ability to get deep. You know, they had a ton of quarterback issues down there at UCF this past year after losing Blake Bortles. The ability to track the ball I thought was really impressive, but he did have a lot of drops, a lot of focus drops. And that's just going to be the question is, hey, is he going to improve those at the next level?
And he's got the bloodlines. The thing about it is he wasn't a knockout candidate in 2013 when Blake Bortles was throwing him the ball.
Yep.
He wasn't really the go-to guy when he had the number three pick of the draft, sitting back there in the pocket.
He wasn't a slouch either, though. He had I think, almost 20 yards a catch with Bortles. He was still that downfield guy.
But Reno Hall was the guy in 2013 who struggled with injury this year. So, again, the physical skills are there. I just, if you're talking mid to late first round, I want to see a guy who is more polished than him, more NFL ready than a guy like Perriman.
So actually our pick six, the game that we do every week here, is we kind of go around different themes and we pick six players for a certain theme. And this week we wanted to talk six players who, there's a buzz about connecting to the Eagles. Breshad Perriman was actually on my list. Fran, who do you have on your list that maybe we can run through here?
Well, the one name I wanted to bring up, and he's also a receiver, and that's Nelson Aguilar from USC. Yeah. Has gotten a ton of buzz over the last month and a half, 2 months. Obviously, the Eagles have had reported interest, based on all the media reports. And I think Peter Schrager from Fox Sports came out and said that they think he's going to be a first-round pick. So, what have you heard about Nelson Aguilar?
Yeah, let's look at the draft overall, and then I'll get into Aguilar. What's going to happen is, like I said, the draft, the first round, really falls off after the 15 to 20 picked 15 to 20. So what you're going to have in the late part of round one, that bottom third, I believe, is a lot of surprises. Guys who 6 months ago, 4 months ago, 2 months ago, you thought were going to be mid-second round choices, all of a sudden are going to end up in the late part of round one, Aguilar being one of them. Now, he's a speedy receiver, so he's a good fit for the Eagles because they need a guy who can stretch the field, line him up in the slot, line him up in the flanks, a guy who was the go-to guy at the USC. Is he going to end up in the late part of round one? Possibly. I think where the Eagles select is still a little bit too early for him. But you never know with the makeup of this draft and the fact that they need some speed at receiver.
So you bring up a good point because, you know, that since there's so many guys in that 20, we'll say, to 50 range that are very similar and there are going to be some surprises, do you think that there are going to be some surprises that may fall out of that spot? You've talked about Randy Gregory in the past, so obviously we'll put him aside. Are there any other names there?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any top-rated guys, guys that you project as top 15 guys who may take a tumble. And if they do, it's not going to be because of talent, it's because of red flags. Mm-hmm. I mean, reported earlier this week that Jay Ajayi, the running back from Boise State, was red flagged by a number of teams because of a knee issue, and I'm hearing it's worse than I was originally told. And there's a guy who a lot of people thought could be a late first-round pick. He could really tumble down draft boards. Right now, unless it's a major red flag that will come out days before the draft, I don't see any projected top 15 pick, you know, falling 20 slots.
Where do you think Ajayi is going to fall?
You know, I've heard anywhere from third round to potentially not drafted.
Wow.
To now, not the truth, drafted? Yeah,
the truth is somewhere in between, because people throw things out. Now, I knew the Ajayi story a week ago. I just didn't report it until Monday. It's been since confirmed, and it's been extrapolated. You know, it's been worse than what I was told. So that's what I'm hearing right now. I'm sure the truth is somewhere in between because he's too good of a back. I mean, he's a big, strong back who can turn the corner. He's a terrific receiver out of the backfield. Boise State love to throw the ball. And the way running backs are now, you get him in there, you basically burn him out for 2 or 3 years. Why not take a chance on a guy like that?
Also has a ton of workload in his history at Boise State. So he's sort of been run into the ground already.
That's a good point.
Same thing with a lot of those Wisconsin backs
as
well.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So. Well, where do you think Melvin Gordon goes?
I think he's going to slide into the late part of round one. I know that Dallas likes him a lot. If Dallas doesn't take a defensive back, I think they could look that way. Maybe a team in the early part of round two, once those backs start to come off the board, move up to get a guy like Melvin Gordon, Minnesota possibly, depending on what happens with Adrian Peterson.
All right, I'll give you my first guy. Since we're just pumping you for information. You're the information
guy. That's basically what this is
going to be. We're just going to run down a list of guys and see what the latest juice is.
If I don't know what, I'll make it up. So
I got to start.
You
know where.
Just kidding.
You know where I'm going to start.
Oh, yeah, Wake Forest.
That's exactly right. Kevin Johnson.
There you go.
What's the juice on Kevin Johnson?
He's going to be a first-round pick, and he deserves to be a first-round pick. I mean, as far – he didn't go to the Senior Bowl, which I think hurt him. And the fact is
– But I don't think it did hurt him.
I think it did because he would have solidified himself as the number one cornerback in the draft. If not number two. He's got a slim build, but he's an aggressive physical player. He's got terrific ball skills. He's fast. He's fluid. He has got a good body of work. Depending on when that first cornerback comes off, I could see a run really through the Baltimore Ravens, Dallas Cowboys, the end of round one, and I think Johnson will be one of those guys.
You think he's a possibility for the Eagles at 20?
No, because I think they want a bigger, stouter guy at the point of attack. That's what I think they want. And, you know, he's a bit thin-framed.
That's true.
It's interesting that you bring up the Senior Bowl point, too, Bo, because, you know, if he had gone, you think about the guys that weren't there, that he could have had a chance to prove himself as being ahead of those guys. It happened with Eric Fisher a couple years ago when he proved that he was going to be above Luke Jokel, and obviously that hasn't worked out yet for the Chiefs.
But it did work out for Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson was spectacular at the Senior Bowl and went from a guy who was maybe a late first round pick all the way into the top five, and people saw how not only we knew about his great potential. I'm sorry to cut you off. We knew not only about Lane Johnson's great potential, but the fact that he showed at the NFL at the Senior Bowl, he was NFL ready.
That's a good point.
All right, I'll stick with the defensive backs. What about Eric Rowe, who you reported is probably going to be a late first-round pick and possibly, you think, for either the Eagles or maybe the Green Bay Packers?
Right. And I think that still remains true. The fact is Rowe's got the size. He's got the athleticism. What I'm told teams really like is they like his coachability. They like his football intelligence. He's a guy that can play two positions, safety or corner. He can play multiple schemes. You know, when I see him on film, I see more of a second, third round guy. But you look at his measurables, you look at the fact that the league wants bigger corners now. They want that versatility. And I think he's got a lot going on between the ears, which is what teams really like. And again, I go back to what I said. You're going to have a lot of guys in the late part of round one who 2 or 3 months ago we thought were second or third round picks. And Eric Rowe fits into that scheme.
Do you think more teams see him as a corner or as a safety?
I think a lot of teams like him at cornerback, and until he fails a cornerback, they'll push him inside the safety because you want that bigger physical guy that can beat down opposing receivers. So a lot of teams like him. More teams like him at cornerback, and more teams will try him at cornerback until he fails, and then they'll push him inside.
And that's an interesting Senior Bowl story, of course, because they made him play safety most of the week at the Senior Bowl.
But he also did a good job in
But it was
many
just
the
individual drills, yeah. I mean, he likely could have had a chance to rocket himself up a little higher if he was allowed to play that position.
Possibly, but you know what? I mean, we're talking about Eric Rowe as a potential late first-round pick now. Yeah. Were we talking about him as a potential late first-round pick before the Senior Bowl?
No, but that's what right. I'm saying. Is that maybe it doesn't really right. necessarily matter right. quite all that much.
You know, a lot what happens at the Senior Bowl, as well as the Combine, and later on, are the interviews. I mean, you know, you talk about Marcus Mariota. I mean, Mariota never should have been out of the conversation as an early pick. But
Mariota.
I'm sorry. Thank you. There we go. Yeah. We'll hit a lot more of those dings before the day's over. That's for sure, the way I put your name. But, you know, the interviews and the way they come across and the way they're able to dissect things. That's why I think the Eagles fell in love with Jordan Matthews last year, was because of, you know, when they did the whiteboard, when they showed him film, he knew what was happening, you know, before it actually happened. He remembered the play, the down, the distance. And when you have that sort of cognitive ability, if you will, especially in this day and age of in the NFL, teams really are attracted to that as opposed to the big guy who just runs, you know, 4.3 in the 40.
All right, well, let's stay in the secondary. One guy, he wasn't at the Senior Bowl, a junior who had a huge year last year out of Louisville, Jerod Holloman, had a ton of buzz early in the, you know, in the fall. Everyone loved Jerod Holloman.
By me.
What
yeah,
a face
no,
you made.
I 100% agree.
You have to watch the video version of this podcast.
Yeah, to see what his reaction was. What are you hearing about Jerod Holloman?
6th, 7th round pick.
Yeah.
More reputation than reality. You know, he deserves credit for what was a 14 interception.
Sure.
But it was more a situation of being in the right place at the right time versus his talent. He's got decent size, but he's not very fast. People think he's not physical. When I watch the film, I see a guy that takes incorrect angles. He takes too many steps. He's very inefficient. You can't have that at the safety position, especially on Sundays. The funny thing is the guy he played with at safety, James Sample, is a much better safety, and is probably going to be selected 3 to 4 rounds earlier than Jerod Holloman in the 2nd or 3rd round. And again, you know, you talk about Holloman, the early buzz. People were talking in November, December.
Said he was Ed Reed. Ed Reed.
I guess they must have watched. They either watched the highlights or they
Ed Reed now.
Or looked at the stats. But the film doesn't. The film just did not translate well to the next level. And the other fact is that Louisville defense had a lot of good players on it. Sure. They had good players on the defensive line. They had good linebackers. They had good cornerbacks, which made his job a little bit easier. But I think it's going to be a struggle for him at the next level. I think he's scheme specific. You're going to have to put him in a zone. Maybe he's a strong safety. Give him credit for all those interceptions. I just don't think it translates well on Sunday.
All right, I'll stick with the safety then. A player who has been linked to the Eagles as well, Penn State's Adrian Amos. Yeah.
Guy who's played corner and safety.
Exactly.
You know, from a physical point of view, he's got excellent size. He's got excellent speed. Not overly productive on the college level. Solid production. You know, I like him maybe, say, like Jalen Watkins last year. An early third-day pick that you're going to use in maybe dime packages, special teams player at the next level, and hope that he develops down the road. I don't see him as an immediate impact player on Sunday, at least early in his career.
But because of the lack of depth of safety in this class, could you see him being pushed up to the late 2nd, maybe 3rd round?
Lack of secondary players, not just safety. I mean, maybe. All it takes is one team. I think that's a bit early for him. But again, you know, you're right, because he's also played some corner in the past. So, you know, if teams think that, you know what, in certain situations we can line him up over the slot receiver and he'll do a good job for us, he could go in the 3rd round.
Tony, it's been long presumed that Landon Collins is the best safety in this year's draft class, but Mike Mayock, NFL Network, sent some shockwaves when he proclaimed that Damaris Randall from Arizona State is his number one safety, and it's been reported that Randall visited the Eagles here at the NovaCare Complex What do you think is going to go on with Randall? Yeah, do you think that he goes?
A little self-promotion here. Mike Mayock, who I'm friendly with, actually readjusted his rankings a week after I said that there was talk that Damaris Randall could slide into the late part of round one. That was reported, and then all of a sudden. And listen, Damaris Randall, he's sort of like, who's the kid from Seattle that came out of Texas?
Earl Thomas.
Thank you. A little bit small.
Brandon Graham. Oh, sorry.
A little bit small, but athletic. Terrific three-down defender. When you watch him on film, I love his ball skills. I love his instincts. He doesn't make mental mistakes. He's not prone to lapses on the field. He's not the biggest guy in the world. His cover skills are such that, you know, you can play him over the slot receiver, and he's not going to be a liability. He will do a good job for you. There are some teams that think you can even line him up at cornerback. So does a guy like that slide into the late part of round one? Well, how many people thought Jimmy Ward was going to be a first-round pick a year ago? And I think that Randall is a better player than Jimmy Ward. He's got better cover skills. So I could see it. Will the Eagles take him? Again, I think they want a bigger-bodied guy in the secondary.
Okay. A quick aside, I wanted to ask Frank because of those the Mayock rankings. He listed Alex Carter as a safety, the Stanford cornerback. What do you make of that?
I would. You know, I never really thought about him as a safety. I mean, I think he moves well enough for a corner. I don't know, Tony, if you would agree with that. I mean, when I watched him, I never once thought, oh, this kid's going to have to move inside.
Well, I think, number one, he's got the size to play safety. Number two, he's a little, you know, his ball skills aren't as polished, so maybe you're thinking, well, you're better off at safety as opposed to man-to-man coverage. Could he play there? Yeah, but again,
he's not an elite athlete.
Yeah, well, he's a solid athlete. Yeah. Plus, he's got the bloodlines. But, I mean, his dad was a first-round pick.
Was he?
Tom Carter was first-round pick of the Washington Redskins, I think, in 1987. I think the same year Perriman's old man.
Really?
Right around there. Yeah, sure.
Oh, there you go.
But again, I think he's the guy who needs more development in his game, more polish in his game before he's NFL ready. I mean, I project him as cornerback. Could I see a team potentially moving him inside to safety? Yes, but again, you got a bigger guy who's physical, who's got those measurables. If he can play cornerback, you're going to leave him there.
Yeah, you brought it up with Eric Rowe earlier. I think he stays a corner until he proves that he can't do it.
Right.
All right, so we've talked about a couple Senior Bowl guys. One guy who was an underclassman that ended up at the game was Donovan Smith from Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of people were surprised to see that he's going to the draft in Chicago. So there's obviously some buzz about him going early and, you know, possibly even in round one. What have you heard about Smith?
Well, people love his potential. Let me tell you my history with Smith. I watched him as a redshirt freshman at Penn State, and I thought this guy was going to be just the next great offensive lineman out of Penn State. When I saw him as a redshirt freshman, I thought, and I told people in the agent business, you better get on this guy. He's going to be a first-round pick. The problem is he was up here as a redshirt freshman, and then his game went down. He was not as effective as a sophomore. And then last year, he was on and off. He was not a consistent starter. When you get down to the nitty-gritty, he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he's got the movement skills to play left tackle, he's got the strength to play right tackle, he's agile, he's not just a big, immovable guy, he can adjust his body, twist his body, gets his hands into defenders to pick up the blitz. The question with Donovan Smith is his work ethic. You know, is this lead up to the draft, has the light gone on for Donovan Smith, or is it just a money grab? We're not going to know that for another, you know, 2 to 3 seasons, but the fact is, left tackles are a priority. I don't think he's going to go in the first round. I think it's too much of a risk, and there's too much other talent at the tackle position where Smith is going to fall into the second round. But he's one of those guys that if you take him late and the light has gone on for him, you could hit a home run because you could get a guy that could start at either left or right tackle for a long time to come if he is willing to do the little things on and off the field to make himself a better player.
And all spring we've talked about, you know, in terms of the Eagles, a lot of players that with the ability to play not just tackle but then slide inside the guard. Do you think Smith could play guard?
I think it'd be a disservice. I think, you know, his size is better off at tackle as well as his athleticism. I mean, it's nice to do that, but I think, again, when you have a good cornerback and you leave him at cornerback as opposed to moving him to safety, I think the same thing with tackle. He's good enough to play tackle. I mean, I'm sure he could do it. Jonathan Ogden started off as a guard before he kicked out the tackles. Now he's a Hall of Fame tackle. I'm sure he can do it, but I think teams are going to draft him as a tackle early on. If they need to move him inside the guard, they'll consider it.
What's interesting is, and we've talked about this throughout the draft processes, but the Eagles have been linked to not just sort of those mobile offensive linemen who we expect them to be linked to, but this sort of powerful Juan Castillo-type offensive lineman, right, like Donovan Smith, like Jeremiah Putasi, from Utah. It's interesting to see that they're sort of being linked and checking the tires on both kinds of offensive linemen.
The other thing is, and I've noticed this with all the visits and the workouts, they're working out a lot of tight ends, you know, which I thought was kind of strange, but just something to keep an eye on, you know, especially the third day of the draft.
I think one of you guys has a tight end coming up in a bit.
That's right.
But I'll go with another Senior Bowl player. Franz, he doesn't like me to say that it's his favorite player in the draft because he still hasn't decided yet, but I think that it's Franz's favorite player in the draft, and it's your favorite one to pronounce.
Oh, Odighizuwa. I haven't gotten the first name down, though.
Owamabe.
Thank you. I've got to work on that train ride.
Owamabe or Owamabe?
Owamabe.
Owamabe.
Okay.
The big O, we'll just call him.
Double O.
To my mind, the most underrated defensive lineman in this year's draft. I mean, he's got a body of work. He's not a guy who just turned it on as a senior. He would have been he had the hip injury in 2013, which kept him on the sidelines. Had he played as well as he was predicted, he would have been an early pick in the 2014 draft. Now, the problem with him is he's small framed, 265 pounds at 6'4 and change. But, I mean, he plays big, he's intense, he's not a liability against the run, he's not afraid to go up against the bigger tackles to defend the run, he's a terrific pass rusher, he's explosive, he's intense, very good up the field, can bend off the edge, can change direction, pursue from the backside. In my mind, he's a guy who's going to should go late first round. Maybe he slides in the second round. 2 or 3 years down the road, they're going to say, how did this guy get out of the top 20 of the 2015 draft? There's just everything I like about this guy, except for the fact that maybe he's 20 pounds lighter than he should be. But, you know, that should come in time.
But and then maybe that means that he can play outside linebacker in a 3-4.
Maybe. I mean, I like him better out of a three-point stance because of his length, because of his growth potential. But he can rush the passer. He can get up the field. And, he's more than just an up-the-field guy. He can change direction. He shows ability in pursuit. A lot to like about him.
He's one of the few players who, you know, I think we expect the Eagles in the first two rounds to take some combination of offensive lineman, cornerback, or wide receiver. Two of those three positions. He's one of the few players who I think could be an outside those positions pick in the first two rounds just because of value.
You know, I don't think they take him in the first round. I don't think he's there for them in the second round. So unless they're going to trade up in round two.
Or back in round one.
Potentially, right.
Right. Correct.
So you don't think the hip surgery in the past is going to scare too many teams away?
Hips don't lie.
You know, I don't know. I have not heard that it is. Mm. You know, I don't read MRIs, and I certainly didn't see his MRI. It didn't look like it affected him last year. Sure. I mean, you've seen guys who come off for injury who are a fraction of themselves. And Odighizuwa, really from the word go last year, was, you know, excuse the expression for those listening family, was like a bat out of hell. I mean, his play was boom.
I was expecting a lot worse.
But, you know, he showed no ill effects of it. Now, you know, what they look at is, go back to Ajayi. You know, they look at situations where it's not a problem now, but it could be a problem a year or two down the road, right, which will depress their draft stock. Could be a degenerative situation. I said Odighizuwa better.
Yeah,
than degenerative.
Yes, that's true. And Mariota.
Is Bat Out of Hell a Led Zeppelin song?
It's an AC/DC song.
No, I think it's a Meatloaf song.
Meatloaf.
Zeppelin is prime rib to the Meatloaf there, bro.
bro.
prime rib, not...
there you go, whatever.
Something better than prime rib?
I don't know. I'm not a steak eater.
Filet,
myself, so.
I don't know.
But is it an issue? I've not heard that it is.
I'm going to say in the Pac-12. Go with another versatile defender. It's Shaq Thompson, who reportedly visited the Eagles.
Right.
And could see him as an interesting chess piece in Bill Davis's scheme. A dime linebacker, sort of fit the Nolan Carroll role from last season. Most people seem to project him as a 4-3 weak side linebacker, like a Levante David type player.
Right, in a one-gap system, right.
Yeah. Where do you see him?
Well, or, you know, there's been rumblings that the Eagles could trade Kendricks, right? And those are the rumors now. So if you trade him, do you stick Shaq Thompson on the inside and just let him run to the ball as an inside linebacker? He's just size deficient. He's a terrific football player, a very intense, nonstop motor, did what the team wanted him to do, played a lot of running back last year besides linebacker, but he's got safety size. Really, I mean, I think it was, 235 or something like that at the combine. May have been a little bit bigger than that, but his playing weight is more towards the 220 range.
Yeah.
I think he's a second, third-round choice. He's a scheme-specific player. If you draft him, you have a specific intention of drafting him. You're either going to use him on the inside of a of a 3-4, or you're going to use him as a one-gap linebacker. But the problem with the one-gap linebackers right now, is how is he going to match up against 6'4" tight ends? He's not. He's going to get beat. Right. He can try as he may, but if all quarterback has to do is high point the ball, and the tight end's going to go up and get it over him.
All right, so let's. Bo teased it already, so I'll go with the tight end there with Tyler Croft, the local guy from downtown Pennsylvania, a Philly suburb, out of Rutgers, a junior who declared for the draft. What have you heard from about Tyler Croft?
Great athlete in a tight end deficient draft, so he's going to be overdrafted. I have him right now as a third round pick. You look at his size, speed numbers, you're thinking a guy who's a top 45 selection, had a terrible junior year. Surprised a lot of people by entering the draft, but they did not have good quarterback play at Rutgers really the last 2 years, his sophomore season. You could tell as a sophomore that he had next-level potential. You could see that he had that ability. It's really what the NFL wants in today's tight ends. He's tall, he's fast, he's athletic, he can get down the seam, create mismatches. Not a bad blocker. It's just that, you know, blocking wasn't his forte. They asked him, when you get a guy that big and that fast, get him off the line of scrimmage, get him down the field, and throw the ball to him. You know, he had an ankle sprain late in the year, which, if you remember, we're at the combine. I reported was re-injured during combine exams. You know, I think he's going to go somewhere in that third round area, maybe late second round for a team like Denver that likes to use that type of athletic tight end. I do like him, but again, I think he's going to need a bit of time before he's ready to produce on a consistent level. I could be wrong. I mean, it may just have been the quarterback play last year at Rutgers and the injury late in the year for him. He's got the physical skills, and he's also shown himself in the past to be a very good football player.
What are you thinking about third round?
I have him right now as a third round, stamp him as a third round player. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up in the late part of round two.
Okay. I'm going to take another pass catcher, but a receiver who has potentially been linked to the Eagles, I guess, a reported pre-draft visit. Florida State's Rashawn Greene, a little bit smaller, but very productive.
Very productive, good underneath receiver, has not had a good run-up to the draft, was very average at the Senior Bowl. I'm sorry, he didn't show up the Senior Bowl. That's right. He was named as what? That was it. He was named as one of those guys who just didn't show up, didn't give a reason why he was going to show up the Senior Bowl. I think he was slower than expected at the combine. I like him as a number four receiver, maybe a number three receiver that's going to run underneath routes. He's not a field stretcher. He's a timing passer. You know, I think he'd be a good fit for the Eagles system, although, again, I think they want more speed at the position.
All right, I'll go back to the defensive backfield. And there was a picture on Twitter at the UConn Pro Day of Chip Kelly and Bill Davis and Ed Manowitz, I think Tom Donahoe, with Byron Jones, the cornerback.
Yep.
Some people think that he's just a workout warrior.
Yeah.
Fran has gone on Twitter to defend the fact that Byron Jones was a productive player before he had a shoulder injury.
And I don't want to promote myself. But
when we're recording, at least.
What I do is I watch these guys over the course of their college career. And Byron Jones is a perfect example. He was injured last year. And, teams just didn't throw his way because they knew he was such a good cornerback. If the pass wasn't going to be intercepted, it was going to be deflected. So it was a wasted down. If you go back and watch him in 2013, you saw a guy that's got the ability to shut down opposing receivers. You saw a really good cornerback. Coming into the season, I had him stamped. If you follow me in the summer, you're bored, you go to TFY, and I'm previewing all these guys because I got nothing better to do. There you go.
Bored is right.
I stamped him as a potential third-round pick. Okay, so it doesn't surprise me that he's improved based on his workout numbers. You know, the fact is you got to go back and you can't watch what's in front of you just on Saturday, the year before the guys in the draft, to do your evaluation. If you go back and you look at the film, 2012, 2013, Byron Jones was a terrific cornerback. It's just that he was injured, what you said, and teams didn't throw his way. Teams just stayed away from him.
All right, Tony, let's go to Virginia linebacker Eli Harrell, a favorite of one Chris McPherson.
Indeed.
Had a good workout at the combine, was pretty productive, declared for the draft as a junior. What have you heard about Harrell? Because it seems like his stock is all over the board.
Yeah, solid, not great. I never heard he was a first-round pick, never thought he was a first-round pick. A guy who was a very good pass rusher, very explosive up the field. But he's a bit one-dimensional. He also shows the ability to change direction and pursue. You know, you want to look at sack numbers, but you also want to see if the quarterback's not there, can the guy change direction easily without losing much momentum and chase the action from the backside and catch the, or at least harass the ball carrier, ball handler, whoever it may be, to change his direction of his run, or the quarterback's got to get rid of the ball. A little bit small, really does not very experienced playing back off the line of scrimmage. So, you know, is he a one-gap defensive end? Is he a 3-4 outside linebacker? I think he can get up the field, and those guys are premium on draft day. I think he's going to be somewhere in that mid-second half of round two.
Interesting. All right.
All right, I'm going back to some cornerbacks who I know nothing about, but the Eagles have reportedly had him consistent. In for pre-draft visits. Late-round guys, I guess. I'm assuming I'm going to ask you. We'll start with Marshall cornerback Daryl Roberts. Yeah,
a guy who's a late bloomer. He's got great size, speed numbers.
Sub 4'4", 40.
Yeah, right around and decent size. He's like 5'11", I believe just slightly under 190. His game took off last year. There's two guys in this draft, two cornerbacks, him and Gary Peters from Clemson, who you know really watched their games take off late. Peters was at the combine. The Marshall kid was not. I think he's the type of guy that if you bring him in, or if you draft him in the sixth or seventh round, which I'm hearing it's likely going to happen, you bring him in for dime packages, but he's really going to have to show well on special teams to make an active roster, or he ends up on a practice squad.
All right. My last guy, offensive lineman from Oregon. Yeah. Bo had mentioned him briefly a few moments ago, a player who, because of the Eagles' offensive line situation, because of the scheme versatility, position versatility, Jake Fisher.
Terrific player. Early in the season, Oregon had a very big game against Michigan State, which had national title implications. And Jake Fisher was going up against Shalik Calhoun, the Michigan State pass rusher, a guy who a lot of people thought was going to enter the draft, although in the end he ended up staying because he didn't have a good year. Why am I going on it, babbling on about this? Fisher handled Calhoun. He did a terrific job. And right then and there, he established himself as one of the top-tier or better offensive tackles in this year's draft. And then what happens is he goes to the combine and he runs faster than people expect. He jumps higher. He's much more athletic than he looks on film. So people say, we got this great left tackle who did struggle with an injury as a senior. Basically never plays with the tight end next to him because of the system at Oregon. Did a great job protecting the blind side of one Marcus Mariota. And he's Mariota. Oh, man. There we go. And now he's a much better athlete than we thought. So right now he's my number, I believe he's my number three or number four tackle. And I think he's the guy that, you know, you talk about position first, he can play left tackle, can probably be used on the right side in certain systems. And a guy who I think is going to quickly start for an NFL team that selects him.
Do you think first round?
Yeah. Yes. I think because, again, you know, there are some positions, cornerback, defensive lineman, and pass-blocking left tackles that are a premium on draft day, and they usually go much higher than expected.
All right, my last guy, Tony, running back. And this guy I think is flying under the radar a little bit because he's a really fun player to watch, but because of his size and his perceived lack of athleticism, I think he's flying under the radar a little bit.
Tommy Bohannon.
Josh Robinson, Mississippi State. What are you hearing about Josh Robinson? Obviously, he's built a little bit differently than a lot of these other backs. What are you hearing?
Probably a last-day guy.
Okay.
More of a straight-line runner. Benefited from the fact that the quarterback there could do everything, throw the ball, run the ball. So, I mean, if you watch the film, he runs hard, he runs tough, you know, he's able to break tackles, but he doesn't have great size, doesn't have great speed, and he had massive holes to run through at Mississippi State. You know, I think he's more of a situational back, but I think if you're going to select Robinson, it's going to be in the late rounds.
All right, my last one, similar to Daryl Roberts, another player, another late-round corner who the Eagles had in for a pre-draft visit, reportedly, Kansas State's Randall Evans, 6 foot 190.
Yeah, a guy, a versatile guy who can play both corner or safety, decent speed. You know, I like his game. I don't love his game. But, again, one of those guys that if you draft him, it's going to be very late, and he's going to have to earn his wage on special teams. That's what you're looking at him as. He's a dime back at best. I'll be surprised if he is selected. I don't have him as a draftable player right now. They got a bunch of guys in that defensive back seven at Kansas State who I think are going to be priority free agents who aren't going to get drafted, but will make it as, you know, ninth defensive backs, eighth linebackers on Sunday.
What are you hearing about the bet we made at the Shrine game about when Louisville's Jamon Brown would get drafted?
Third round right now.
Oh, really? I don't remember what we bet.
I can go back to the tape.
Well, you still owe me a bet from the East-West Shrine game 2 years ago, don't you?
No, you owe me because Shaq Richardson was drafted ahead of the other Shaq.
You know, Jamon Brown had a good pro day.
Stinks.
But, you know, if you're looking for a wide-bodied guard, that's your guy.
Wide body is right.
There you go.
The other bet that you guys made was about South Dakota State's Zach Zenner.
Well, I made. I don't know if we made a bet. Yeah, I was just busting on him.
Well, you said that if he gets, he said if you get, if he gets drafted by the Eagles, you can have Bo's job.
Oh, that's right.
That's on tape.
Bo's, that's true.
I can have Bo's job. You can take Bo's job. I want a pay cut?
Well, that's a good question. I picked him up at the train station. He saw my car.
There you go. Looked like he ran went to a rally event for all the motorsport fans out there. I mean, Zenner. Incredibly productive at South Dakota State. I mean, production that was off the charts, but he's not really big. He's not really fast. I mean, he's basically he's a situational back that you're going to bring in on third down, maybe hand him the ball, maybe you throw it to him out of the backfield. I don't have him. I've got him as a priority free agent right now. So
I have him as a non-priority free agent.
That's all we heard, felt people, during the East-West Shrine game from Bo was
B.J. Finney. B.J. Finney, the X-Man, yeah. Tywan Jones, and
Darian Miller.
Darian Miller.
You watched Darian Miller the other day. How did you?
He's athletic. I like Darian. I mean, I think he's probably going to have to slide inside the guard, Tony. I don't know if
you've
heard.
Yeah, I agree. His combine was not that good. I agree with you. He looks very athletic on film.
His numbers weren't good.
No, they weren't.
Skinny legs.
But you know what? I mean, he's a good pass blocker. He's got to get stronger. You said the skinny legs. He's got to get stronger and improve his run blocking.
All right. Well, it's time to play a game now, Tony.
Uh-oh.
Not that we haven't been having fun before, but we're going to play one of our favorite games, Order in the Court.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a list of players, and you're going to tell me what order they're going to be drafted in.
Okay.
Okay? We're all going to play along. We'll start with the quarterbacks.
All right.
Bryce Petty, Garrett Grayson, Brett Hundley. What order will they be drafted?
The exact reverse of what you told me. I'm going to say Hundley, Grayson, Bryce Petty. I like Bryce Petty. He's got a back issue. And if you're concerned about Mariota going from a wide-open system into an in-tight system, you've got to be twice as concerned about that with Bryce Petty because, you look at the history from Robert Griffin to the kid they had after Robert Griffin who gave up football. People thought he was going to be an early round pick to Bryce Petty. They just put up numbers unbelievably. So I like Petty, but I think it's going to be a while before he's NFL ready. And I don't know how teams perceive that back injury.
I think it's going to be Grayson, Petty, Hundley.
Just the exact opposite.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right.
Not the exact
opposite. You saying that to be argumentative or you really believe that?
No, I do believe that, though. I don't.
So you got Hundley third there. What round Hundley do you think Hundley is?
Maybe late third.
You know, there was a belief early on that the Eagles really liked Hundley.
Yeah.
He's a good fit for the Eagles system.
I mean, I remember him at the combine saying that he would love to be in the Eagles offense. And that would be probably be the one team where he could make as close to, I wouldn't say a seamless transition, but it would be an easier transition, though.
Physically, yes. When I watch Hundley, and, you know, I took a lot of grief after the 2013 season when people projected him as a top 10 pick. I said, no way. You know, at times, and I don't mean to be offensive, he just looks like a deer in headlights at times. I mean, you could see him back there.
That's super offensive.
He's, well, I prefaced it by saying, you know.
No offense, even though I'm about to offend a player.
He just thinks too much back there. And he looks like, you know, he's wondering what to do. He's slow to pull the trigger. He's a leader. He's supposed to be a heck of a nice guy. I hope he's successful. And I hope that he can mesh the mental intangibles with his physical skills because you're going to have a very good quarterback. I just think that it's going to be a bumpy road for him before he's ready to take a snap.
But you still think of the three.
You think he'll be the first one drafted, though?
I don't think too highly of the quarterback class, though. Okay. That's why after the top two guys.
I'm going to go Grayson, Hundley, Petty. And, you know, I think Grayson is starting to pick up a little bit in terms of his buzz, and a lot of people are starting to talk about him. I agree with Tony and with the injuries with Petty. I think that might scare a few teams away. So I wouldn't be surprised if it went that order. Grayson, Hundley, Petty.
One thing about Grayson, and I can't reveal too much here, but teams are concerned whether he's going to be able to play in a complex system, whether he's going to be able to handle the mental responsibilities. He was not the greatest classroom student. So he's got the physical skills, and really his game, I mean, he was good as a junior, and his game really took off this year from the second half of that Boston College game on. He looked unstoppable, and I like Grayson. I mean, I compared him, again, if you read me during the summer, I compared him to poor man's Blake Bortles as far as his passing skills. It's just a matter of how much of a playbook or how complex of a playbook is he going to be able to handle.
I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to say I'm going to go Petty, Hundley, Grayson. So
all right, there we go.
All right, running backs. Four of them this time, okay? You ready?
Yeah, I am.
Tevin Coleman.
Right.
Duke Johnson.
Right.
TJ Yeldon.
Right.
Amir Abdullah.
Who's the first guy?
Coleman.
Coleman. I think in that order that you gave me, Coleman, Duke Johnson, TJ Yeldon, and Amir Abdullah. Now, I'm hearing that teams really like TJ Yeldon. And he's going to be drafted earlier. So it's my own personal preference is Duke Johnson before T.J. Yeldon, in part because the history of Alabama running backs is not being good in the league, and I hate to do that, but, I mean, not, they've not done that all that well. I like Duke Johnson a lot. I could see Yeldon going before Duke Johnson. I like Amir Abdullah, but he's got fumbling problems. He's got small hands under 9 inches. That's just not a good combination.
I go Yeldon. First of the bunch.
I agree.
I
go
there as well.
I go Abdullah. It's Abdullah Coleman. High character for Abdullah. Change of pace guy. I think a team could have an immediate role for him.
Right.
I think Coleman could eventually be a feature back. So I could flip those, but I still would go Abdullah 2, Coleman 3, and I think Duke Johnson 4.
I am pretty much the same way. I went Yeldon 1, Tevin Coleman 2. I like Tevin Coleman a lot, but I like Yeldon a little bit more. And Amir Abdullah at 3, Duke Johnson at 4.
I have the same.
Okay. I like Duke Johnson. I think he's underrated. I thought Philip Dorsett was underrated coming in the season. Now all of a sudden his game taken off. Tevin Coleman, a lot of people, it was said to me that he's one of the most talented when you compare him to, Melvin Gordon. But he's not the most motivated. And then I did a little research into it, and they said, well, it's not that he's not motivated. It's just he's a very quiet, almost introverted type of guy. You have to basically pull things out of him. And there's a question of, you know, what type of playbook is he going to be able to handle? But people love his physical skills. And he ran like a 4.39. I reported low 4.4s, high 4.3s.
And that was not what scouts thought he was going into.
Not at all. He doesn't look like that on film. It's just a matter of coaching him to play to that speed. So a lot of, you know, there are different physical skills, football ability, it's not off the field issues, but there are some questions that some people have about Tevin Coleman, but a lot of people really like him and they like TJ Yeldon. I just have a block when it comes to Alabama running backs, and I like Duke Johnson a lot. I mean, I liked him during the season. He's a creative guy. I think he's a three down guy. You look at unlike the Alabama running backs, the Miami running backs that have come out, you know, have been underrated and have done well on the NFL level.
All right, let's move on to wide receivers. Your boy Perryman, Breshad Perryman, Nelson Aguilar, Jalen Strong, and Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of any of those guys. I think what's going to happen is, who was the third guy you said?
Strong.
Okay. I'm going to say the first two in the order you told me, Dorsett's going to go before Jalen Strong. Dorsett's the only guy in that group that I really like. Breshad Perryman, we talked about him. Jalen Strong, he's a guy who, when I watch him on film, and I've watched him for 2 years since he came out of junior college, doesn't always win out in battles. He just seems kind of blasé at times. Aguilar is a little bit small for my taste, but you can't deny his production.
So you're going Perryman, Aguilar, Dorsett, Strong.
Exactly.
I have the same order.
I have the same order as well.
Oh. I went different. I'm going to go Perryman at 1, Jalen Strong at 2, Aguilar at 3, and I think you could switch those two guys. That's the one thing I'm not exactly sure about, and then I think it's Dorsett at 4.
Okay. The thing about Dorsett is he runs fast and he plays fast. I mean, he is a legitimate downfield threat.
No doubt.
Is he going first round?
I think he could go late first round.
Really?
I think there's a possibility. Again, because, you know, there's not a lot of true deep speed at the receiver position. You got him. You got Tyler Lockett, who's a third-round pick. You got J.J. Nelson of UAB, who's, you know, last-day pick. He's small. There's not a lot of
Devin
true...
Devin Smith, maybe?
Okay.
I know he wasn't that fast at the combine.
And the fact is this. There's a story that why he didn't run a pro day. The thing about Devin Smith, when I watched Devin Smith, you know, he was a good downfield receiver, but he just never presented himself to me as a true deep threat, as a guy who's going to step to the line and strike fear in opposing defensive backs. Never. People say, well, you're wrong. He's got a sprinter's background.
Well, they're not wrong with that.
And he runs the 4.4 at the combine. You know, First of all, he's not in the class of a Dorsett, Philip Dorsett, or Lockett of Kansas State, or J.J. Nelson. He's not that sort of downfield threat. He's a little bit bigger. He's a little bit stouter than those guys. He's probably going to be a better underneath receiver, but I just never saw him as a true vertical threat, Devin Smith.
Well, we're going to stick on Devin Smith and do another one with wide receivers.
Uh-oh.
Devin Smith,
right.
Sammy Coates,
right.
Devin Funchess, ooh. And Doriel Green Beckham.
First thing is I rank Funchess as a tight end. That's another conversation. But I'm going to flip. I'm going to put Coates, Smith,
this is a good one.
Funchess, and then Doriel Green Beckham. Doriel Green Beckham's the wild card in all this. He's big, he's athletic, he's a natural receiver, he wins out, he's smooth, he's fluid, hasn't played football in a year, and he's got off-the-field issues. And when you look at that second tier of receivers, it's very deep. So is a team going to roll the dice on him, and when will they roll the dice on him?
What's the highest you've heard him going?
I saw people say he was a first-round pick
right.
entering the combine. I've not heard that at all.
Okay.
I would be surprised if he cracks the top 45.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Maybe he may, because
right.
people are going to fall in love with the size
sure.
and his pass catch. He's got the skills. But again, you know, so did Mike Williams of USC.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, and he was an early first-round pick, and he ran faster than expected at his I remember I was at that workout when Mike Williams ran much faster than expected, had questions about his route running, and just never panned out for him.
Okay.
Had similar off-the-field issues, Mike Williams, as to Doriel Green Beckham as well.
I think someone's going to fall in love with him, take him high. I am first of the four. I go Funchess second, his ability to win with his size. Sammy Coates, you know, the speed, the size combo, and Devin Smith. I go fourth.
I have the same as yours, except I flip-flop. I go Funchess one, DGB two, then Coates, then Devin Smith.
This is a good one by you, Bo.
Thank you.
I like this. I like this foursome here. I'm going to go DGB one, Funchess two, Coates three, Smith four.
Okay.
Same as C-Mac. Yeah.
All right.
We shall see.
Okay. Let's go to the edge guys. First, potential first-round edge guys. Vic Beasley, Randy Gregory, Bud Dupree, Shane Ray.
My preference would be Bud Dupree because I think he's going to be a terrific player down the road. But on draft day, I think it's going to be Beasley, Shane Ray, Bud Dupree, Randy Gregory.
How far do you think Gregory might fall? Could he fall out of the first round?
I would be surprised if he goes in the first round.
Wow.
You'd be surprised if he goes in the first round.
Right.
Wow.
I'm going to hijack this, and I'm going to throw in one of our other games real quick. Over under for Shane Ray in terms of his draft slot. We'll put it at 14.5. You think he goes in the top 14, or you think he falls below that?
No, I think he does go in the top 14.
Think he goes top 14.
He's just too talented of a pass rusher.
Okay.
And with, as far as my projections, Randy Gregory falling, that opens up another slot.
Okay.
So you went Beasley, Ray, then Dupree, then Gregory?
Exactly.
Okay.
I flip-flopped 2 and 3.
I went Beasley 1, Dupree 2, Ray 3, Gregory 4.
That's what I went. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Tony's one.
I could see that. I'm a big fan of Bud Dupree. I would even consider him over Vic Beasley because of the size, because of the height and everything else. The consistent productivity is just not there. And I like his versatility. I mean, of all the guys you mentioned, he was the only guy at the combine who worked out as a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those other guys did linebacker drills after the defensive line, but I was shocked to see that he was assigned with the linebackers. So he did not practice. He did not do the practice session, which I thought was a big mistake. It was a huge opportunity for him. Did very well during the pro day. But his athleticism, he's a very sudden player. He's a guy, what I mean by that is all of a sudden out of nowhere he pops up and just explodes the play. And that's what I love about him.
Okay.
Staying with the edge rusher, what do you think of Fowler? Do you think he's a lock for top three, top five?
I would say top five.
Top five, okay.
If Jacksonville doesn't take him, you got to think Washington's going to take him. And the Jets are sitting there. I'm sure the Jets would love him as well. But that's a sixth pick. But, you know, the thing about Fowler is, yeah, he's a little bit size deficient, but he played the run well at Florida. It wasn't like, compare him to Randy Gregory, who at times when teams ran at Randy Gregory with a tight end, he just seemed, okay, we'll throw up the white flag.
Right, yep.
Fowler never did that. And not only was he a good pass rusher, but again, he was able to get up the field, change direction, make a left-hand turn, chase down the line of scrimmage, and catch the ball handler from behind.
Leonard Williams, do you think is locked top four?
I'd be surprised if he gets – yeah, I definitely – well, yes. Yeah, okay. I think he's Jacksonville's pick right
okay.
now. I mean, Gus Bradley has had a lot of success with that type of player. as far as I'm concerned, I know it's not been updated on TFY draft yet, but he's the top player in the draft. He's a three down player. He can defend the run. He can rush the pass. You can use him on the inside of a 4-3. If you go to a three man front in certain packages, you can put him at defensive end. And again, I think it was the Stanford game when Leonard Williams hurt his ankle. And people didn't know whether he was going to play. In that game, he had like 11 tackles, a sack, tackles for loss. I mean, he played like his hair, and he's got the wild hair, was on fire. I think that really sealed the deal for a lot of people to say, you know what, this is not just a big guy who gets by on natural talent. He is a determined, intense football player. So I'd be surprised if he gets past Jacksonville. Jacksonville could take Fowler. We'll see.
Do you think the quarterbacks are going 1-2?
I do. And they should go 1-2, especially Mariota.
Mariota, I agree.
Do you think
all agree?
Do you think Mariota goes one? Any chance of that?
I think there's a definite positive. I've been saying that all along. I've been definite.
And you on the boat together.
Here we go. Let's go back. Let's go back to a year ago when we sat here and people were falling all over themselves for Johnny Manziel, and Blake Bortles was the forgotten guy. And I said that's ridiculous. Blake Bortles is a terrific pro prospect, and Manziel. Now Manziel's a much better pro. Winston's a much better pro prospect. Johnny Manziel, obviously, but because of the fact that, you know, he's not the loud, boisterous guy. He doesn't have any off-the-field, seamy issues. The media, or when I say the media, that people that cover the draft after the Super Bowl have tend to forgotten about Mariota. Okay? We had a situation in New York where, three, 4 weeks ago, the New York reporters were saying, oh, Jets have no interest in Marcus Mariota. And all of a sudden, you know, they're going to trade up to get him. Bottom line is he was always in the conversation to be one of the first two players drafted. He didn't throw as good as Winston did at the combine, but he threw very well. You know, his pro day workout was poor, but it wasn't awful. Say like Teddy Bridgewater, the guy's got a great body of work. He's a terrific. He's got the physical gifts to play at the next level. He's a terrific quarterback. He's a great character. He's got a lot to learn, but if you want somebody at the quarterback position, put him in a position where they have to learn certain things, it's him. So, I mean, to my mind, it was foolish, the fact that he was never, at some point in time, to some people, he was out of the conversation as one of the top two players. And I had read, and I don't follow mock drafts, or people had him like in the middle part of round one. Now all of a sudden he's 13 spots higher. Mm. It never was on my board or Bo's board, so I took my lead.
That's exactly right. All right, we're getting towards the end. We'll move a little quicker.
Pronounce his name for me, please.
Mariota.
Thank you.
Mariota.
Yeah. Okay. All right. These are.
Is it Dorsett or Dorsett?
Dorsett.
Until it was Dorsett before he won the Heisman Trophy. I'm talking about Tony.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It was Dorsett before he won the Heisman, and then afterwards it's Dorsett.
Okay. All right, I got five cornerbacks for you. We're going at the positions that the Eagles are
really making me work here.
Yeah, I'll let you look at it this time. Kevin Johnson.
Right.
Byron Jones.
Right.
Marcus Peters.
Right.
Jalen Collins.
Right.
Eric Rowe.
Now you're asking me how they're going to fall off or how I have them?
How they are going to be drafted.
Okay, they're going to be drafted. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it's going to be Byron Jones, Kevin Johnson, Eric Rowe, Marcus Peters, and then Collins of LSU.
Interesting. I think people would be surprised that you have Rowe ahead of Peters, perhaps. But you have the same order, Fran?
No, I went with Byron Jones 1, Kevin Johnson 2, Peters at 3, Rowe at 4, Collins at 5. So almost.
So I went Kevin Johnson first.
Ooh, okay.
Technically sound. Byron Jones, number 2. I feel like Jalen Collins, those physical gifts, make him 3. Rowe with the versatility. Peters, it's the off-the-field questions. But there's some question about his game tape as well. But so I put him at 5.
I would agree with that, too. People think, you know, you watch it, it's very sporadic. It's very erratic, I should say. You know, Collins has got the physical skills, but Collins cannot make a plays with his back to the ball. I mean, he struggles. He does a lot of face guarding. You're not going to get away with that on Sunday, and you're going to have to put him in certain schemes. And, you know, you go back to the history of cornerbacks coming out of college who struggled making plays with his back to the ball. A guy by the name of Mike Rumpf of Miami of Florida is somebody who comes to mind. Could not get his head back around, and he had a very short NFL. So it's a very tough thing. Think of a guy like Byron Jones. He struggles, but I'm more apt to believe it'll be more coachable for him as opposed to Collins, who, you know, came out early, as a lot of LSU players do. Great physical skills. I think he's just being slightly overrated right now.
I would have never guessed that we would have brought up Mike Rumpf in this podcast.
Rumpf shaker.
Yeah. For the record, I'm going Jones, Johnson, Rowe, Peters, Jalen Collins. Okay. All right. Second to last one. This is a big one. I got six offensive linemen for you. All right. Lyle Collins. All
right.
TJ Clemmings. All right. Andres Pete. Eric Flowers. Jake Fisher. And Cam Irving.
I'm going to say Flowers. I'm not a big fan of Flowers, but he'll be number one.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting. You're hearing that he'll be a...
Well, he'd be the first one of that group.
Okay.
You didn't put Brandon Scherff in there.
No.
And it's not my personal choice.
Sure. That's what you're hearing. No, absolutely.
I think it's going to be Andres Pete, Jake Fisher. Who are the other three?
Collins, Law Collins, TJ Clemmings, Cam Irving.
The last two it will be between Clemmings and Cameron Irving. Right now I'm going to say Irving, Clemmings, and then Collins will go before Irving. So Lael Collins will be my fourth offensive lineman on this list.
Okay, so you have Flowers, Pete, Fisher, Collins, Irving, Clemmings.
Correct. Now, if it was up to me, I would probably take Jake Fisher first if it was up to me, but I don't think that's the way they're going to fall off.
I go Pete one, so I flip up the first two, Pete and Flowers.
Yep.
Lael Collins, I went third. I feel like Cam Irving's going to go higher just because...
You've been on Cam Irving for a while.
Just because of that, it's that guy you plug in, you know that he'll be able to start day one, you're good to go, no questions asked, especially since it doesn't seem like there seems to be that real consensus among who the top offensive lineman. Now, obviously, it just has to be one team has to like a certain guy, but I feel like there might be more of a consensus on Irving. TJ Clemmings, love the potential. I put him at five. Jake Fisher, it just seems like the buzz has dropped off, and maybe... That's great for teams who love him and are thinking, you know, no one's talking about it. We'll be able to get him higher. I feel like at this point he'll be six.
I went with Pete one, Flowers two, but you hear so much about Flowers going up higher, so that'll be really.
What's the truth? That's the thing. How do you sort through what you're told at this time? I think that's probably one of the toughest things because you don't know who's blowing smoke.
You don't know until draft day. I mean, you got to go with the sources that you trust. The biggest mistake I've made in this industry, and I make it every year, is I have a guy, like I had Eric Flowers as a second round pick when I watched him on film. And then I move him to the first round because everyone else is talking about him. And then he turns out to be a second round pick. So you go by what people say rather than what you see. I do know this about Andres Pete. I thought he was slightly overrated coming into the process. He did not have a good combine. He's got these thick legs. He looks heavy footed. When you watch him on film, oftentimes he's off balance. So, you know, you could say that Eric Flowers is overhyped. That's true. But I feel, from what I heard, Andres Pete has been overrated throughout the entire thing, so the entire process.
I'm gonna sort of buck the way things are going. I'm going to say Lyle Collins goes one.
Well, did we go through we can go through Fran's full list.
I'm sorry.
Pete Flowers, Lyle Collins, three. Jake Fisher, four. TJ Clemmings, five. Irving, six.
Okay. I'm going Lyle Collins, one. Flowers, two. Clemmings, three. Pete, four. Irving, five. Fisher, six.
Interesting. So,
there you go.
Do you have Collins as a tackle or a guard?
Well, I think the versatility helps.
I think he's going to be a guard. I think he's probably more. Same thing with Clemmings. I had both those guys as guards.
All right, last one for you.
Go ahead.
This is short, easy.
I hope it's not long.
I'm asking you to rank. It's even worse.
Joe Cardona.
The producers who have joined you on road trips.
Oh boy.
Brian Thomas, who's running the board. Chris Borletto.
What? As if he doesn't know
who. Where is Borletto? I haven't seen him.
Borletto, whose voice adorns the intro to the show.
Okay.
And Sam Hallowell. The late departed Sam Hallowell.
Sam's number one. Sam was great. He was just, you know why? Because he was just, he would say things like they were real, but you know, you knew he was full of it. It was, you know, what was that?
That's like
wishy,
you.
What was that? He kept talking about. I probably because you know you don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore. And he was obviously Brian, because Brian's the ball of fun when we're at the Senior Bowl. You know, always looking out for my man Brian. And you know, Chris. I haven't seen him in a while. I want to find out, well, how's his band doing?
Let's ask him.
Well enough. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Halliwell, Thomas, Barletta. I guess I'd... how would you guys rank?
Oh, yeah, nice.
Obviously, Brian number one.
Yes.
Here,
obviously, it controls what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So and Brian being the only single guy, we can, you know...
That's true. For, to turn it back seriously, we'll end it. I guess maybe end it this way.
Yeah.
Eagles pick. What do you think? What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing both Byron Jones, Eric Rowe, or potentially a receiver. I don't know what receiver is going to be good value there. I've heard the Donovan Smith talk is a bunch of that, just talk. I heard that that's not legit, and they're not going to take him in round one. That said, they probably do now. So people can breathe easy. I'm going to say from what I'm knowing and what I'm just keep tuned, I'm going to say Byron Jones.
Well, there we go. He's on the record. Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net. You can follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. Hopefully, we'll get to see you on Skype during Eagles Draft Central.
There we go, yes.
Hopefully so. So for Bo Wolf, Fran Duffy, I'm Chris McPherson. Everyone, thank you for joining us here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA.